The following is a presentation of New Life Christian Center in Eckley, Colorado. It is being offered as non-copyright material, so please feel free to share it with others.
So, hallelujah. Open in your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Philippians. If you'll give me 20 minutes, maybe more. See, the hoggy dogs in the front row are encouraging against you all's lunch bottoms. You know, where your backside wears out and your stomach hollers. I understand. You know, for those of you prophetic people, I just want you to understand something. Those of you who are over here with me, what a great thrill it is for me to be around people who I can hear you say certain things, and I just go, yep, that's how it worked right there. Isn't that crazy? And some of the things that you all were saying, that's just so encouraging to me. That's free. And hallelujah. I just really appreciate you. Philippians chapter 4, please, shall we pray? Father, your word is true, eternally true. It changes us because we've come in contact with it. So let your word flow today in Jesus' name. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, we started last week with provision-based living. Again, let me define for you, provision is literally making previous preparation. So the whole flow of this is to recognize that when God sent Jesus Christ to the cross, it finished all of the preparation that He was doing for us. It finished it. That's it. There is nothing else. Now, I'm not saying that God is not moving in the earth today. What I'm saying is, and please hear me clearly, what I'm saying is He's not redoing what He's already done. He's not redoing it. You say, well, I need this. He already did that. Well, what's the problem? Well, you're asking Him for something that He's already done. Right? If I would have came to you before the church service, I wish I would have remembered this or thought of this. I would have handed some of you some money. And then I would have said, how many of you have had provision made ahead of time? Well, it's because somebody came and handed you something. You see? And so if you figure this out in the things of the cross, you go, oh, it's already happened. And, you know, like when the light bulb turns on, you just realize, wait a minute. I'm asking for stuff. I mean, if I gave you a wrapped box, and I said, inside the box is everything you need, how many of you would spend time admiring the wrapping paper? Tear it open and get out what is available. I've raised four boys. I'll tell you, I have absolutely no difficulty understanding this one. They don't care about wrapping paper. They want to know what's inside. How much more shall our Heavenly Father? I mean, when I think back of the excitement that my children had for these simple gifts that sometimes, and in some cases, didn't even last a year, you know, I think, well, now wait a minute here. How much more? Where is that, Lord? Yes, Romans. Hang on. I have to write a note so I make sure and go here. Okay. Philippians chapter 4. Look with me if you will, please. At the 6th verse and following. Be anxious for nothing. Now I could preach on those four words for a long time. But let me just say it to you this way. Some of you, when you don't have anything to be anxious for, make stuff up. You worry about not having anything to worry about. Some of you are professional worriers. Stop it. Be anxious for nothing. Well, yeah, but Pastor, you don't understand. I heard a preacher say one time, we'd be a lot better off if we'd get our but God out of the way. Well, but you don't understand. No. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Everybody say everything. Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. See, I'm not here. Some people came up to me and said, you just goofed up my whole prayer life last week. Well, quit praying about stuff that's already happened. I didn't goof up nobody's prayer life. I helped you. Some of you have been begging God for a piece of candy and He gave you a whole candy store. You go, well, but I don't see it. Well, then open your eyes. It's right there. Don't be anxious for nothing. And everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You know, you can't be thankful for what you don't going to get.
Yeah.
Go ahead. If you don't think you're going to get something, you don't thank people for it. I know I didn't say it right English-wise. Some of you people who look at me like you're a school teacher, I'm not in school. Hear it. You understand? You don't. If you can't be thankful, then you don't expect anything. I'm thankful that you all are here today. You want to know why? I expected you to come. I expected you to come. I expected for you to come and participate. And I thank God before He was ever here that He was here. Because I expected Him to be here. Right? I expected the Holy Spirit to do something. So I began to thank Him for it. I didn't make this stuff up today. You know, saying, well, we should just pray for people this way. No! I didn't make that up. But I thanked Him for what He was going to do. I didn't know what it was and I didn't care. Come on, how many of you really, honestly, do you care? I know some of you are going, well, yeah, but I wasn't involved. The only reason you weren't involved is because you didn't come up, not because we excluded you. Well, but listen, if you need an engraved invitation, good luck with that. It isn't coming. And I don't mean to be cruel and harsh. Dear God, if God's even given you the idea, an inkling, a suggestion, a tiny, teeny little bit, jump to your feet and say, hallelujah, I'll have some of that. Well, no, I don't want, you know, what if God didn't want to give it to you? How much more shall your heavenly Father give to those who ask? Man, you ought to come expecting. By the way, I am having the time of my life. This is just awesome. Thank you, Lord. Verse 7, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. Some of you are lacking understanding because you didn't understand that peace was coming. You still think God's angry at you. Today's sermon is entitled The Power of the Cross. You understand that God does not have an issue with you? I'm going to really blow it here. Just put your little Dumaflabi in there and turn back to 1 John chapter 2 or put your thumb in there, however you save places in your Bible. This will get you. This really will. This is good. I love it when God gets you. Verse number 2, chapter 2, 1 John. He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for... Can you draw the conclusion with me that God doesn't have a problem with sin in the world anymore? I know some of you have been taught, well, if we can just get the sin. No, He made provision. Jesus was the propitiation. I don't know exactly what that means, but I think that's like kind of gift or something. Who's smart enough to know what propitiation means? Substitute. Thank you, Kevin. Hallelujah. I didn't need to know what it meant exactly, because I was stuck on the rest of the verse that said not only for ours, but for the whole world. I will tell you, God is not angry at the world because of sin. He is pointing to Jesus and saying, look what I did for sin. And the church is saying, look at how terrible your sin is. God is not angry about sin. I know there's some good-hearted people up there trying to tell you how angry God is. God is not angry. He sent Jesus to accomplish, right here, plain black and white, underlined in pink in my Bible. Not for ours only, but for everybody. God doesn't have a problem with the sin of the guy who doesn't believe. He made provision beforehand, before you deserved it. Before you did anything right. Before you could come to a church like this and get all your stuff figured out. He gave you provision beforehand. Well, there still isn't any thankfulness in your request, evidently, because you're still waiting for him to do something. No. I occasionally get, and I know this may not, I just need to grow up, I'm sure, but I occasionally get a real big kick out of the people preaching on the corners that say turn or burn, you know. They're pointing out hell. I have never been intrigued by that. God, well, yeah, they're absolutely right. Because for some reason in my little peanut brain, I figured out that if God sent his son, even though I didn't fully understand it, if God sent his son, that what he sent him to fix was fixed. I don't know what it is exactly, but it's fixed. So hell is not for me. Tell me what is for me. That's where I live. See, if God didn't have a problem with my sin, then why am I so worked up about it? Be anxious for nothing. Well, but brother, you don't know. I just keep doing the same stuff over and over. Stop. I know it's hard, isn't it? It isn't hard if the provision is recognized. If you're begging God to do something to you so you stop sinning, you've missed the point. He already did it. But he did it to Jesus so you could get it for free. The only option that he has that fits your theology is if he comes down here and kills you. Sin deserves sacrifice. If you don't accept Jesus, then just line up because you're going to get your stuff handed to you by God. He will fry you because you want him to. Unless, of course, you actually believe that Jesus did the work. Well, he's just got to do so. He did it. This is just simple preaching. He just did it. I just want to just say he did it. Do you not get it? But he needs to do something about sin. He already did. Yeah, but I keep sinning. Stop. But I can't. Well, then use the provision that God gave you. Oh, what provision? Therein lies the problem right there. When you don't even recognize that the provision has been made for you already. You actually want God to do something for you. Peace of God surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There's no excuse for you not to be peaceful. He provided it. Right? Well, I'm just worrying so much. Why? He provided peace for you. Can you imagine how attractive the church would be if you all would just kind of cut each other some slack and be peaceful? Be happy. Some of you need to notify your face that you got an emotion. Then maybe you're happy. Oh, but you don't understand, Pastor. I'm such a sinner. Well, we can all agree on that, but can we agree that Jesus made provision for it? I mean, dear God, some of you, you're right, man. Some of you are really bad sinners. Some of you actually test the limits of the sacrifice of Jesus, right? I mean, isn't that crazy? Well, I'm not sure. You know, well, did God really mean it? Well, I don't know. What more serious thing can you do other than killing your own son for someone else? Do you think he meant it? Do you think he meant it? He sacrificed his son. Do you think he meant it? No. He didn't mean it. He's still having to do something for you. The sacrifice of Jesus was not sufficient, evidently. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Man, I'm telling you what, we think on all the wrong things. Meditate on the stuff that God has already done. Then he goes on, verse number 11, not that I speak in regard to need. And if you were here last week and all you young people who we just sent out of the room, but we found that not that I speak was that really great word. Who remembers the word? Oh, come on. Lego. Very good. Don't ever forget Legos. How many of you got Legos at your house? I got Legos at my house. What do you do with your Legos? Well, you build a story. That's exactly this word. Paul said, not that I speak in regard to building a story about need. Do you know that some of you wouldn't have anything to pray about if you didn't tell God about your needs? Your Lego, your story that you're building is all about what you don't have. I would encourage you In fact, I double dog dare you to build a story about what God has given you already. Now I'm going to take you down a road today. See, I told you I only need 20 minutes and I've used 12 of them already. Just trying to get you in the mood. I'm going to take you down a road today that I hope to pop some bubbles in your thinking. Many of you have been taught that boasting is wrong. You've attached boasting and pride together. I want to fix that for you today. And I want you to leave here bragging. I know. Well, I couldn't do that. What would people think? They'd think that you actually believe what you're saying. Because you can't stop talking about it. Come on. How many have ever bragged? When I first got grandkids, I went out and bought me one of them little photo album kind of things. People would say, did you get a grandchild? And I'd say, did I get a grandchild? And I would tell them how great my grandchildren were. If you come in my office today, I got brand new pictures of all of them up on the wall. And if the parents send me a picture, then I will replace them immediately. I want you to see how beautifully perfect my grandchildren are. They are smart beyond belief. They are godly above all else. They are the greatest children on the face of the earth. Now, can you understand that that kind of bragging gets overlooked by people? You look at me and you go, well, you're their grandpa. You kind of got to be that way. I mean, really, how many ever got out your picture? I mean, you know, now I'm gonna tell you something about me. Can I have at least another 15 minutes? Okay. If I ask the right people the right question, I get the right answer. How many ever looked at a baby picture that somebody was really proud of, but inside of you were going, dear God, that's an ugly baby. I've done that. I have done that. I mean, I look at that and they're so pleased, you know, and the baby's got this awkward looking head and this big red spot, you know, and where the doctor used the forceps and the grandparents just looking at that. They're going, oh, look at how beautiful my baby is. Well, with a facelift, maybe. Why don't we brag about the things of God? Why don't we go to Pizza Hut today and start talking with such glowing reports about what our God does? Why don't we get out the pictures of what God has done for us? Oh, because people would think, you know, they'd think bad stuff about you. You can't be bragging. Really? Huh. Turn with me, if you will, please, to the book of Galatians, chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Anybody figured out where I'm going yet? I'd like you to leave here bragging and not feel bad about it. What the cross of Jesus Christ has done for us. See, when I look at my grandchildren, I'm just so amazed. I look at them and I see their little eyes and their little personalities, and you know, I see all this stuff, and I like your kids about that well. I mean, I love kids, and I particularly like sending your kids home. You know, I mean, I like that. I look at some of you and I think, oh, you're going to have so much fun raising that one, you know. And then I realize that the God I serve is having as much fun raising us. Wouldn't it be neat if we could just slip up to heaven and God would be just kind of like us for just a second, and we would say to him, well, what about them people at New Life? And wouldn't it be cool if out of his back pocket he pulled out one of them accordion phone picture things? He goes, oh, look at this guy in the front row sitting there. He loves Jesus so much he looks like him. How do you think Larry looks like Jesus? Come on. I mean, look at Jesus sitting over here. Verse 14, chapter 6. By the way, I think God does do that. I think he loves us that much. He doesn't need pictures, but I put the pictures in there so you could see it. I mean, God loves you that much.
But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of Jesus Christ.
Oh.
Galatians 6 and 14 says, I give you permission to boast about what the cross has done. And not to feel guilty about it. Boast in the previous preparation. Boast in what God has done for you. Boast in what God has prepared for you. Boast in what God is putting in front of you. You can't believe how good it feels to have permission to brag. Isn't God great? Don't come at me and shout me down just because you think I shouldn't boast. Man, God is awesome. God forbid I should boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me. He's already boasting. He's saying, oh, by the way, the world's been crucified to me. He's already boasting. I know some of you are going, well, how do you do that? I've not been crucified for the world. Yeah, you have. You have. I didn't say you knew it. I didn't say you operated in it. But you have. It's no longer I that lived. If Christ has been crucified, I've been crucified with Him. I no longer live that life in flesh. I live it in the faith. Live it in faith. You've been crucified. The world's been crucified to you, whether you like it or not. See why you say I need something from God? It's because you didn't recognize that He already did it. If you need deliverance from sin, oh God, you can't believe it. I love it. I honestly love it. I had a drummer in my last church. Praise God, did he need Jesus. Oh. And he would come up every week. And he'd say, oh, pastor. And then he'd, in a prayer line, the guy was confessing to me like I was a priest at confession. And I finally got it. If he'd just go ahead and accept the sacrifice of Jesus, he could stop telling me every one of his dirty, dark secrets. If he'd actually receive what Jesus had done for him, I began to tell him that. He began to get free. Being free is better than being in bondage. I'm not the smartest guy in the room, but I figured that one out. Why not brag about the world being crucified to us? I'm not going to brag anything except the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Why not say the world has no hold on me? Why not say it? Well, that would be bragging. Exactly my point. I will boast in nothing except for what's already happened in the cross. I just wish we could get some braggers. Really, honest. Go to your other church friends and start bragging to them. See how long it takes them to shut you down. They will tell you that what you're saying shouldn't be said the way you're saying it. You shouldn't brag. And then just ever so nonchalantly take out your Bible, hit them upside the head with it. No, don't do that. And point out this scripture right here. It says, God forbid that I should boast anything except the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Except that. Oh, okay, this is a scripture God told me to share with you. I am just excited past myself here. I wish that God would have given me the verses. Oh, I found it. Verse 6 of chapter 5, Romans. Did I say that? When we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. See, we had nothing to bring. Can you brag on that? Can you say, I was as bad as they come until Jesus showed up with His cross. And now, I'm as good as they get. See, now I know none of you are going to go out there and say that, but why not? Why not be as good as you can get in the cross of Jesus? It's just a thought. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. See, using human knowledge, you would say, well, he'd have to clean himself up. That's the way the churches act today. We act like they got to come in, they got to get themselves cleaned up so they're worthy of our God. I'm telling you, I was worthless until I found the cross. And immediately upon finding the cross, I was the best God had to offer. See, even some of you are going, I can't believe he said that. He's the best? We all are. We all are. See, you're just scared to boast. I'm telling you what, God loves me. I'm the best thing God has to offer. I know some of you are going, you shouldn't talk that way, Pastor. Somebody will get this CD and I'll have to explain you to them. I'm so tired of the church apologizing for what Jesus has done and minimizing the power of the cross. It's offensive to me. Where was that scripture in Sunday school? First, where it says, not the words of wisdom. Who remembers that? That's a good one too. We'll get to it in a second. God will show it to me. Just a second. But let's keep reading. Verse 8. God demonstrates His own love towards us that while we were still sinners, it was God's love that came there. And then look at this. Underline this in your Bible. Thank. This is what God was showing me. Much more than what? Much more than what He just said? Much more than the demonstration of His own love. Much more. I would tell you that we have been selling things so short in the power of the cross because we don't ever say much more. Look at this. It says it three times in here. Much more than, verse number 9. Number 11, much more having reconciled. Verse number 10. Verse number 11. And not only that. Can you imagine having a conversation with somebody who starts out and says, well, I got saved through Jesus Christ, but much more. And not only that. I mean, they just kept going with their story like, you can't believe it's even better than when He saved me. Come on, some of you, you know, dirty, rotten sinners who will always be dirty, rotten sinners, who are always the scum of the earth kind of people, you need to get this. Much more. Much more. I don't know how ever, I'd like to know the Greek here, but I think it means much more. Much more. We even stop there. We say, well, praise God. I'm so glad He saved me from my sin. He not only saved you from your sin, He built a provision that is more than you could ever dream up. All because of the cross. He gave previous provision while seeing us at our worst. Man, some of you need to get it. He made previous provision. He forgave all our sin. Okay, I'll do that one. 2 Corinthians and 1 Corinthians, both chapter 10. Boy, isn't God amazing. Okay, when you get to 1 Corinthians 10, put your finger there and then go to 2 Corinthians 10. We'll read it first and then we'll go backwards. 2 Corinthians 10, look at the 13th verse. We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us. Do you all think I'm prideful and arrogant when I say to you that God has called us to make an impact in this area and there's nothing anyone can do about it? We have a sphere of influence that goes as far and includes you. We have a sphere of influence that makes us get noticed. You say, well, does that make you feel good about yourself? No, it makes me feel good about God. Because if it's left up to me, I'd goof it up. But God made provision while I was yet a sinner. But however, we will not boast beyond measure. That means we'll boast within the measure. Come on, you got to get rid of that prideful thing that says, well, I'm just never going to brag. Man, you got to get out your brag book about Jesus. You got to get out the photos of what God has done for you. You got to get out the visual aids that say, look at what my God has done. Boast within the measure. sphere of influence. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at the 13th verse. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common. Aren't you glad that God gives you a way of escape? See, some of you need to recognize that in the provision is a way out of all the stuff that you struggle with. All the stuff. Our influence and the things you struggle with. Wouldn't it be great to brag about that? Oh, you can't believe the way of escape that God has provided for me. You can't believe that. You can't believe the influence God has given us. I may have to preach this again. And I'll try and be a little bit more together with it. Can you with me just look at the provision that is the cross? And can you with me just for a moment suspend some of your thought process? And can you put in play how much bragging you would do if you didn't feel fleshly cautious about it? Can you just suspend for just a moment that fleshly consciousness that says, oh, we're not supposed to be like this. Yes, we are. People stay away from church on purpose because there's nothing for them here. But how about if you went out and said, you can't believe what God is doing? What if your bragging sounded something like you bragging about your grandchildren, only better? What if your bragging included what God had done for you? What if you suspended the caution that says, don't say too much, people will think you're weird? What if you suspended all of that and just held up the cross and said, you cannot believe what's included in this. You cannot believe what's included in this. I asked for 15 more minutes. I took 17. So let me pray for you. Close your Bibles for just a second. When you get them closed, stand up. We're going to close the service this way. We're going to close with a prayer that I believe needs to take root in all of you. If you don't want to accept my prayer, you don't have to. But I want you to at least consider what I'm about to say in this prayer. So listen. Father, in Jesus' name, build up in us the ability to brag in the cross. The ability to know and to recognize what you provided and let that come out of us. Not in ways, Father God, that says, look what we've done, but in ways that say, look at what our God has done. Let us become braggers in the cross, in Jesus' name. Amen. I know that I might have spun your head just a little bit about bragging, but I don't want you to leave here without truly understanding I meant to, and I'm serious. It's okay to brag about Jesus. If you're like me, you should be tired of the anemic lifestyle that most Christians live, all because they're unwilling to brag about what Jesus has done. So people, as your pastor, if you need to forgive me. But those of you who got this, let me say to you as your pastor, go forth and brag in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Sing us out, brother, and we'll...
This has been a presentation of New Life Christian Center in Eckley, Colorado. Our phone number is 970-359-2424, and our website is newlifeeckley.com. Thank you for listening, and please feel free to share this material with others. Our main service begins Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., and we hope to see you at New Life Christian Center.